pulling double duty this morning, taught Sunday school, and I was just sitting up here thinking, Brother Jerry taught Sunday school last week and led the music, and then Paul taught Sunday school this week and led the music, so Mark, when it's your turn to teach Sunday school, brother, be ready to lead the music. In our case, we just have to face the music, don't we? All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, and I want to welcome those that have joined us via the internet. We have another whole church group there that joins us every Sunday morning. Several Bible study groups, and greetings to you from Grace Bible Church. We appreciate you being with us. One of our listeners from out in Colorado, Brother Scott Evans, I saw on Facebook where his wife Debbie had been in the hospital, and I don't know the details, but I did correspond with Scott just briefly, but she's going to be in a wheelchair for a couple of months, he said. So be praying for Scott and Debbie Evans during this time. Like I said, I'm not sure what the surgery was. Doesn't really matter. Just be praying for them as she recovers. And it's always difficult when you have things like that going on in your family. And so remember them in prayer. And everybody else, we're glad that you're with us as well. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. And I want to read there from verse 1. Sometimes you put a title on your messages, sometimes you just jump right in there. But if I was going to title this one, it would be Satisfied with Truth. There are several old gospel songs called Satisfied. And so I looked those up, and you can go on Google and find the lyrics and so forth. And one of them is it's an old Negro spiritual, but there's several of them that have that title that have different lyrics. But what I noticed about all of them, basically, were the things that were said in there, the reason they were satisfied was because of the physical things that God had done for them in their life. And I was thinking about that as I was thinking about what teach about this morning about truth. And it really ties in with what Brother Paul was talking about us believing the Word, being established in the Word, and how many people are really just satisfied with the truth. Most churches are built around the fact that people are not satisfied with just hearing the truth. They have to be entertained. They have to have their emotions stirred. I remember when I worked at Blue Cross, there was a gentleman, and almost at least once a month, he'd come in and said, "Oh, Steve, you should have been in our church last night." Said, "Boy, the spirit fell in there, so the preacher didn't even get to preach." And, what he was getting at, people got to shout and holler and all that kind of stuff, praying, tongues and everything, and the preacher didn't have time to preach. Well, the fact is the truth, folks, supersedes everything else. And when we read something out of the Bible, we need to learn to be satisfied with that truth. Paul in Acts chapter 17, the Bible talks there where he goes to Athens. And it talks about those that were always trying to come up with some new thing. And I mentioned to the Bible study group on Thursday night how I can understand a person that's been in a denominational church or in a religious system for years having a difficult time making changes about the things that they believe. It is a hard thing. It's hard to acknowledge and admit that you were wrong about things. But even more perplexing to me is what I have seen over the last couple or 3 years about people that have seen dispensational truth, understood the Word rightly divided, and then begin to go back and deny many of those truths. And I don't know why they do that. I mean, you can speculate about it, but that's not what's important. What's important is we believe the truth. And that there are certain truths. Like somebody bought me a paper about 3 or 4 years ago and said, "I want you to read this and study it and look at it. And consider this." And so I read about the first paragraph and I gave it back to him and I said, "Don't need to." They said, "Well, why not?" I said, "I've been studying it for 35 years. It was a doctrine about Calvinism." Well, folks, I don't have to go back and restudy Calvinism every time somebody wants to debate Calvinism. I know what the Bible says about God, and it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And all that believe are justified from all things, from which they not be justified by the law of Moses. So it doesn't take long to study that subject and see the error of it. Now you can go through the tulip thing and all that kind of stuff. My point is that we have the truth of the Word of God, and that's where we need to keep our focus, is on that truth. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 1 he said, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to knowledge, he is proud, knowing nothing." Now that verse right there is very significant in that you can see through that when Paul told Timothy, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men that they might be able to teach others also." And then he says here, "Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness." Anybody that tells you that they believe in following the words of Jesus more than the words of Paul are ignorant of the fact that the words of Paul are the words of Jesus. And he received them from Jesus by revelation from heaven, and just because he didn't receive them while Christ was on earth doesn't make them any less the Word of God. They are the words of Jesus Christ. And just because they're not written in red doesn't mean they're not his words. Whoever came up with that anyway? Red letter edition. The words of Jesus. Folks, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They're all the words of Jesus. I'm talking about Old Testament. Jesus Christ was the Word, is the Word, and that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Never mind, that wasn't part of the message. Just running those rabbits. Verse 4. "He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse," that has to do with being corrupt, "perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds," in other words, from corrupt minds come corrupt disputings, "and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." Now there are people today, many people, that are destitute of the truth. And they're not destitute of the truth because it does not exist. They're destitute of the truth because they refuse to accept the truth. Because we have the truth of the Word of God. In John chapter 18, Pilate, when he had Jesus before him, he asked the question, he said, "What is truth?" Well, Jesus had just answered the question back in John chapter 17. He said, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. Now, there's a couple of, I think, misconceptions among people today in relation to truth and understand the scriptures that people have that I want to address this morning. You may disagree with these, but I want to mention two things before we get into really the things I want to talk about the truth. The first one is that people supernaturally receive truth independent from the Word of God. That's one of the greatest fallacies in religion today, folks. And that's how every denominational system that is contrary to the Word of God got started, was by somebody claiming some revelation apart from the Word of God. Just go back and check it out. Now, I want you to look over in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Of course, in verse 1, he says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. I feel confident this morning that we don't have any of those 12 tribes represented here. And so we'll just take it for what it says. It's to the 12 tribes. It's to Israel. Now notice what he says in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. A couple of things about the passage. It had to do with some promises made to the nation Israel, and specifically the 12. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I don't believe that God supernaturally imparts wisdom to people through you praying for it. Say, well, you're going contrary to the word of God. I'm going contrary to what was written to Israel. Where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from the word of God. If any man lack wisdom, let him study to show thyself approved unto God in this dispensation. Notice back in over in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. Now I found Paul's water, y'all. 1 John 2. Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Look down in verse 26. These sayings have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, stop and think about it. He said, you need not that any man teach you. Ephesians chapter 4 says that God gave prophets, apostles, pastors, and what? Teachers. Well, why in the world would God have teachers in this dispensation if you needed not for any man to teach you? Doesn't make sense. Years ago, and I've told this story several times, but we had a Bible conference here before we converted to become a Bible church. And at that Bible conference, there was a lot of emphasis. It was the year before we made the change. There was a lot of emphasis about the Word of God, the King James Bible, all that kind of stuff. And this fellow got up. I remember he was from Michigan. And he was one of these shouters, you know, glory, hallelujah. And he said, I've heard a lot about the Word, the Word, the Word, and teach, teach, teach. And he said, I need not that any man teach me. And read the verse here and said, and then closed his Bible. And after about 5 minutes, it was evident that he needed somebody to teach him. He didn't have the anointing. You hear a lot about the anointing today, don't you? This preacher's anointed. That person's anointed. No, the anointing had to do with God pouring out His Spirit upon some people to do the work of the ministry that they were given. We have the completed Word of God given to us through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. There is a difference. Go back to John chapter 14. John 14. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Notice how that worked. Look over in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened? And began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance, just like Jesus Christ said would happen in John chapter 14. Not only did he empower them to speak in other languages, he gave them what they were to speak through the Holy Spirit. We don't have that promise today. If you're going to stand up before people and preach to them the Word of God and do so effectively, you're not going to be able to do that on the basis of ignorance of God's Word. I mean, you can get up and tell stories and rant and rave and scream and holler and all that kind of stuff. But if you're going to teach people from the Word of God, you're going to have to know the Word of God. I mean, that's not rocket science, folks. Anybody that's going to teach a subject's got to know the subject. Either that or put up a good front. The point is, how are you going to know whether the preacher's preaching the right thing or not? Like Brother Paul mentioned this morning, you're not going to know that by listening to the preacher 30, 45 minutes once or twice a week. You're going to know that by studying the book, by studying to show yourself approved unto God. Our workman needs not to be ashamed. I had a fellow tell me not long ago, I was talking to him. He said, I believe you know more Bible than anybody ever talked to. I said, and how would you know that? Well, you just quoted all these verses. I said, well, how do you know I was quoting them in context? Think about that. Somebody says, well, that man's smart. He really knows the Bible. How many times have you ever gotten in a discussion with somebody, an argument, and they say, well, I can't really discuss that with you. You know more than I do. Really? Well, then why aren't you studying to try to find out whether I'm right or not? You see, any preacher that tries to get people to believe everything he teaches is no different than these cults out there that have these false leaders. We preach the Word of God. It's your responsibility to try those things by the Word of God. Don't try it by your emotion, whether it makes you feel good or not. Instead of saying amen, many times you might have to say, oh me. But the fact is, try it by the Scriptures. Look in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. They were filled, they spake. Look in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, Acts 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. Well, it was because it was of the Holy Ghost. Listen, that's why, folks, I believe anybody that resisted the message of the Holy Ghost through those apostles blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Now, people might disagree with that, but that was not them speaking. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through them. You and I don't have that blessing today or that privilege. We're told to study the Word of God. And so we have to know the truth. Now, there's one other thing I want to address. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Not one other thing in the message. One other thing before I get started. Some of y'all thought you was fixing to get out. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 6. Paul says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now there is a common idea that's being taught today among many preachers, even those that call themselves grace preachers, and that idea is that you have to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you the meaning of a verse. I remember the first person I ever heard address that was Brother Dan Gross, and he did a great job of it. He went through one scripture after another. But I want you to stop and think about that, folks. The Bible says that there is no scripture that's of any private interpretation. You know what the Holy Spirit's ministry is today? It's to empower you to believe the verse. Believe it. Say, "Well, I read the words, I don't understand it." Well, like I said, the idea that the Holy Spirit will teach people the verses is a dangerous idea, because he may teach in their mind something that's contrary to what's really there. So we can depend on what the Bible says, but just listen, if a person says you've got to let the Holy Spirit teach you what the verse says, then that's no difference in claiming a revelation from the Lord, independent from the Word of God. It's exactly what they're doing. And that was first brought out to me, or I first saw the error of that. I mentioned Brother Dan Gross making the message, but before I ever heard that message even, I had a telephone call from a man back in early 80s. We were running little ads in the Quality Shopper that was here in town at that time. And this man called me. And he was a Church of Christ preacher. And he wanted to debate what I had said about salvation by grace through faith. And so I told him, I said, "Well, where your misconception is," of course he quoted Acts 2:38. I said, "If you read Acts chapter 2, you'll see that Peter is addressing you men of Israel." He said, "Well, we are Israel. We replace them." I said, "Well, show me the verse for that." And he went over to Romans, where there's those that are about the circumcision and so forth. I said, "I tell you what I want you to do. I want to just ask you to compare two verses with me." I said, "You got your Bible for you?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10 and Titus chapter 3. And so he read out of Acts 10, the verse I gave him, I think it's 38. Peter said, "I perceive that in every nation he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Then I said, "All right, read what Paul wrote in Titus 3. And he read it. And it said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." I said, "Now, do you see the difference there?" He said, "They say the same thing." He said, "The problem is you've got to let the Holy Spirit teach you what those verses mean." I said, "The problem is you don't believe words mean what they say. Therefore, our discussion is done. There's no reason for us to argue when you're not even going to believe the words on the page mean what they say that you're going to believe not and are as the same." And I hung up. Folks, it's not hard. It's hard for us to believe sometimes. It's hard for us to receive. But look over 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, I want you to go over to Ephesians, and I'm just using this for an illustrative purpose. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says there in verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things, after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now I want to show you what can happen. I believe that there are two groups in Ephesians. You know why I believe that? Because I just read them. I heard a man preach recently, and without reading the verses, he just said, there's not two groups in Ephesians, there's only one group in Ephesians. Now, if I had a chance to talk to him, I could show him there's two groups, and what we believe about those two groups might differ, but listen, don't deny the truth of the Scripture just to try to prove your point. There's two groups there. If I've got a group that first trusted in Christ and a group that later trusted in Christ, they ain't the same. There's two groups there. Now, like I say, we might debate from now till whenever about those two groups and things about those groups, but the fact is, people will make those kind of statements in order to try to justify their teaching without acknowledging the two groups and then studying it on out. Come on, folks, we've got the book. Believe the book means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it. Brother Jerry and I probably wouldn't agree on everything about those two groups, but I'm certainly not going to deny there's two groups there. There are those that first trusted in Christ. Later on, somebody came that Paul didn't know, talked to those people, or the people that got saved he didn't know, told those people about the grace of God, and they got saved. That's not hard. The Scripture we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Did I ever read that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The point in all that was, it's belief. People's minds are blinded because they believe not. If you believe, then your mind will be illuminated. And the Spirit of God will help your in your unbelief. But there's not a separate and distinct revelation apart from God's Word. There's a church right up the road here. It used to be a Southern Baptist church, still is Southern Baptist, but it's charismatic now. And it's charismatic because the preacher said that he received a revelation of the Lord in a motel room, and he changed from what he believed into the healing and slain in the Spirit and all that kind of stuff. And he wrote a book. And so somebody gave me a copy of the book. And they told me, they said, I highlighted a page and paragraph. I know you don't want to read this whole thing, so just read that. In reading the book, he didn't tell about this revelation for 8 years. He had to be sure everything was just right to move the people in the right direction. Folks, I got some news for you. If I get a revelation from Jesus Christ tonight, I'm going to call you and tell you about it on the phone. I'm not even going to wait till next Sunday. If the Lord appears to me and tells me something, I'm going to let you know about it immediately because you'd need to know it. Say, well, now Paul conferred not with flesh and blood. This man ain't Paul. Nobody today is receiving additional information from God Almighty apart from the Word of God. I know I harp on it all the time, but there's not a week goes by that I don't hear somebody claiming that they did so. And so religion ends up being based on mysticism and fantasy and seeing, feeling, touching, experiencing, and all that kind of stuff rather than faith in the Word of God. Now go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Or 1 Timothy chapter 2. Be good. Paul said there are those that are destitute of the truth. Why are they destitute? Well, some are destitute because they don't know the truth. Some are destitute because they reject the truth and so forth. But notice what he says there in verse 1. 1 Timothy 2, 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Notice now, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Then that's what God's will is. It's not God's will for people to try to operate their life on the basis of ignorance. It's God's will for us to operate our life on the basis of truth. We talked about the works of Ephesians 2:10 last week. Those works must be based upon our knowledge and understanding of God's Word if they're to be those which would be beneficial to the ministry. So there are those that don't know the truth. Thus, it is our responsibility. If God's will for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, and He's bringing that about through the preaching and teaching the Word of God, then it's our responsibility to do everything we can to get, the number one, the gospel out so that people can be saved, and then number two, to establish them in the truth of this present age. Let me tell you, there's a lot of saved people out there in denominational churches that don't know the truth. They might know enough to be saved, but they're still under bondage. And that's why Jesus said the truth will make you free. There are people out there in religious systems that fear what God is going to do to them if they step out of line. They fear the wrath of God because they're taught that their sins are forgiven up to the point they got saved. But after that, if you don't confess them, they're not forgiven. They fear because they're taught that if you don't give a tithe, God will bring curses upon you. And on it goes. They need the truth. They need to acknowledge the truth. They need the knowledge of the Word of God. Look in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus 1 verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. The acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. You see, people look at ungodliness today and think about the things that occur out in the world there among the drug addicts and whatever it might be, the alcoholics and the prostitutes and all this kind of stuff that people, classify as the big sins, murder and rape, all that kind of stuff. Well, I want to tell you something. There's probably more ungodliness going on this morning in Chattanooga, Tennessee, than there was Friday and Saturday night in all the places where people gather and meet on Friday and Saturday night. You know why? Because there are people who refuse to believe the truth, which is after godliness. The most ungodly thing I believe the most ungodly thing that an individual can do in this age is reject the truth of God's Word and teach people that they've got to be doing works in order to get saved. That is a message that damns people. Some of the most receptive people you ever talk to will be people that wouldn't step in a church building. I called my barber a couple of weeks ago to make an appointment. Name's Keith. Keith, 78 years old, still working. He used to own the place out there at Northgate where they cut hair. And I got to know Keith several years ago. He loved country music. He used to play in a country music band years ago up in Nashville. And when I first time I ever talked to Keith, he said, well, I talked to him about the Lord. He said, I'm a recovering Church of Christ. And I said, well, are you fully recovered? And every time that I ever got a haircut, we talked about the Lord. Every time. I called about, it's maybe more than 2 weeks now. It was the weekend before we were going to Memphis. I called on a Thursday, asked for Keith, and the girl there cuts hair next to him, says, he's not here, Steve. He's in the hospital. I said, what's wrong? She said, he's been diagnosed with cancer. But they say it's a very treatable kind, and they think he'll recover. We went to Memphis, and on Tuesday, I was going to go see him in the hospital. I found out he had passed away on Monday. Now, if people heard Keith talk or watched Keith's life, they would have thought, this guy's burning in hell right now. But Keith believed the gospel. He just hated religion. I never will forget, about 6 months ago, I was in the barber chair, and somebody was talking in the thing there, and this fellow spouted out. He said, I believe everybody goes when God has an appointed time, and you're not going to go before that time. And Keith leaned around and looked at me. He said, you believe that, preacher? I said, nope. He said, well, tell me real loud, why not? I said, listen, anybody can shorten their life. I said, we live in a sin-cursed earth, and people die at different times because they get diseases, they get in car wrecks, and all that kind of stuff. The fellow heard me, and he said, oh, I don't believe that. I said, well, I tell you what, I've got plenty of time after I get through with the haircut. I'll go out there and get my Bible, and you show me where the Bible says in the dispensation of the grace of God that God has a time at table for us to die. He said, what is a dispensation? I never shared one word of truth with Keith that he rejected. He always accepted it. And I asked him, I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior? He said, absolutely, I know He is. I said, well, you ought to come fellowship with us. He said, no, sirree. He said, I ain't going to church. I said, that's fine. Going to church never got anybody saved. You see, people look at the outward. But where does God look? Inward. You meet up with people every day that need to know the truth. By the way, while I was still in the chair, a man came, sat down, and that fellow walked over there, and Keith looked at him and he said, you need to listen to this man. He knows what he's talking about. Keith didn't know a whole lot of Bible, but when you showed him something out of the Bible, he believed it. That's important, folks. The truth will make you free. I asked him one time, I said, Keith, how did you have a falling out with the Church of Christ? He said, well, I started up this band and said we didn't have anywhere to practice. And he said, I was cleaning the church at that time. And he said, so we snuck in there on Friday night with my key and brought all of our instruments. And we were practicing music. And one of the deacons drawled by and saw the light on in the church. And he came in there and said, the next Sunday they voted to fire me as the janitor and proceeded to tell me that I wasn't welcome there until I did away with my musical instruments. He said, that's why I'm a recovering Church of Christ. You see, folks, people get so wrapped up in stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans. The Word of God. People are destitute of the truth. There are those that resist the truth. There are those that change the truth. There are those that will not obey the truth. And I had a whole bunch of verses to go with every one of those points. So we will continue next Sunday morning. But I want you to think about satisfied with truth. I really appreciated the things that Paul said this morning about the emotion and the drama and all that kind of stuff. Listen, we come here, folks, for one reason. That's to fellowship around the Word of God. No need for the drama, no need for the emotion, the feeling. I hope you feel good when you leave here because you've been fed. But that's not what it's about. It's about us believing this book and taking this book and sharing it with others. Open our mouth and make known the truth of the gospel. You see, there's not a day that goes by that I don't thank God for what I know. Not because of me, but because of what the book said. Every circumstance of life, there are scriptures that empower, enable us, and encourage us. Even when things look dark and dim, the encouragement comes through the comfort, as Paul calls it in Romans chapter 15, the comfort of the Scriptures. And there's great comfort there. Would you stand me for prayer? Our Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You for the fact that You preserved it. And we have it for our edification, our use, our instruction, our doctrine, our reproof, our correction. And I pray that You'd help us to put great value upon the fact that we have the Word of God and use it for Your honor and Your glory to teach others, to show people how they can be saved in this present dispensation. And I pray that You'd help us to be faithful in sharing the Word of God. And if there are those listening this morning that's never trusted in what You did at Calvary, I pray that this would be the day that they would realize and understand that salvation is by grace through faith in what You did at Calvary, plus nothing. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here today. We're dismissed.